Okay, happy last Friday in October. Oh my gosh. Where did October go? It never came. It's rained for the last month, hasn't it? Oh, and what comes after October? Oh my gosh, November. If I'm really honest, it is not one of my favorite months of the year. Does anybody like November? Okay, there's a couple of you. For me, if you take Thanksgiving out of November, it's a tough month for me. And I think it's a tough month for all of us, especially right here in Holland, Michigan, on the campus of Hope College. I mean, think about it. November, the days are shorter, the temperatures are colder. You are in the academic intensity of the year. It's at full throttle. Friendships get a little more on the edge, don't they? And the glamour of the new school year is kind of worn off. And for many of us, if we're honest, our spiritual lives begin to feel a little dry and crusty, don't they? Where God seems maybe a little more distant and like he's gone a ways from our lives. If this is where you're at this morning, or even if you're leaning in that direction, I think Genesis chapter 39 might be helpful for us as we navigate not only through this kind of season of our life, but through all the different kind of seasons of our life. Genesis 39 picks up on the life of Joseph. Now, just a quick bio on Joseph. Joseph is the 11th son of Jacob. And Jacob is the son of Isaac, and Isaac is the son of Abraham. Now, notice that I said Joseph is the 11th son, but he is also the favored son of his father Jacob, which gets him into trouble with his brothers to the point that out of jealousy and resentment, his brothers sell him as a slave to some traveling Ishmaelites. Now, let that be a warning to you younger siblings not to mess with your older brothers and sisters, or you may find yourself traveling with some Ishmaelites someday. Just a little fair warning. But back to the story, Genesis 39. I'm going to have us enter into the story, and I'm going to be reading from the scripture version known as the Message. Hear the word of the Lord. After Joseph had been taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelites, Potiphar, an Egyptian, one of Pharaoh's officials and the manager of his household, bought him from them. As it turned out, God was with Joseph, and things went very well for him. He ended up living in the home of the Egyptian master. His master recognized that God was with him, saw that God was working for good in everything he did. He became very fond of Joseph and made him his personal aide. He put him in charge of all of his personal affairs, turning everything over to him. From that moment on, God blessed the home of the Egyptian, all because of Joseph. And the blessing of God spread over everything he owned, at home and in the fields, and all that Potiphar had. And all that Potiphar had to concern himself with was eating three meals a day. Wow, what a life shift. I mean, one moment, Joseph is a foreign slave, and the next moment, he's the right-hand man of one of Pharaoh's top officials. And the scriptures say that God was with Joseph, and things went very well for him. In fact, twice in the first three verses of Genesis chapter 39, the phrase, "and God was with Joseph," is used, signifying God's divine presence with Joseph. Have you ever experienced a God with you season in your life? You know what I'm talking about. A period of time when everything seems to be going right and God seems to be evident all the time and everywhere. His voice seems to be a little clearer. He seems to be ever near to you. It's like God is traveling right next to you, directing, protecting, and providing. If you have, it's an awesome season. Author C.S. Lewis refers to these God with us seasons when he notes that at times God will send us a strong sense of his presence, a desire to be with him, and the ability to withstand temptation with ease. However, Lewis continues, but God never allows this state of affairs to last long. And it's true. It's true for Joseph as we listen to the story as it continues. Joseph was a strikingly handsome man. As times went on, his master's wife became infatuated with Joseph, and one day she said, "Sleep with me." He wouldn't do it. He said to his master's wife, "Look, with me here, my master doesn't give a second thought to anything that's going on here. He's put me in charge of everything he owns. He treats me as an equal. The only thing he hasn't turned over to me is you. You're his wife, after all. How could I violate his trust and sin against you and God?" She pestered him day after day after day, but he stood his ground. He refused to go to bed with her. On one of these days, he came to the house to do his work, and none of the household servants happened to be there. She grabbed him by his cloak, saying, "Sleep with me." He left his coat in her hand and ran out of the house. When she realized that he had left his coat in her hand and run outside, she called to her house servants, "Look, this Hebrew shows up, and before you know it, he's trying to seduce me. He tried to make love to me, but I yelled as loud as I could. With all my yelling and screaming, he left his coat beside me, and here it is," and he ran outside. She kept his coat right there until his master came home. She told him the same story. She said, "The Hebrew slave, the one you brought to us, came after me and tried to use me for a plaything. When I yelled and screamed, he left his coat with me and ran outside." When his master heard his wife's story, telling him, "These are the things your slave did to me," he was furious. Joseph's master took him and threw him into jail where the king's prisoners were locked up. Verses 7 through 20 here chronicles the period of time in Joseph's life where he endures repeated temptation, slander, false accusation, which ultimately land him in jail. And during this time, there is no sign of God. In these 14 verses, God's name is never even mentioned. What has to be going through Joseph's mind during this time period? I wonder if he felt like a friend of mine who recently sent me this email. "Dear Paul, I had an awful summer this year that left me feeling angry, bitter, and isolated from God. I always took situations and thought that God was in control and that everything happens for a reason and for the best. But then I broke this summer. I've never been angry at God before, but I'm going through a period of my life where I do not pray or go to church or read my Bible, nor do I have any desire to do any of these things. God left me. Why should I follow?" You know, it's easy to assume that when things are not going well in our lives, that God has left us. How many of us, if we're really honest here today, would say, "I'm feeling that way right now"? And it's during times like these, it makes us think that maybe we've done something wrong, or that God is angry with us, or that God really doesn't care about us anymore. These kind of thoughts had to be going through Joseph's mind. But listen as the story continues. But there in jail, God was with Joseph. He reached out in kindness to him, and he put him in good terms with the head jailer. The head jailer put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners. He ended up managing the whole operation. The head jailer gave Joseph free rein, never checked on him, because God was with him. Whatever he did, God made sure it worked out for the best. Did you pick up that key phrase again? And God was with Joseph. Used two more times in the last three verses of Genesis 39. And this phrase bookends 39, which covers approximately 11 years of Joseph's life. And as this chapter comes to a close, it's clear that throughout this 11-year journey of ups and downs and joys and frustration, God is always with Joseph, regardless. Now hear this. Regardless of whether Joseph is aware of it or not. God with us is a phrase that is used throughout the Bible, and it means much more than God just being near to us like a lucky charm or a rabbit's foot. It means that the God of the universe is for us, that God stands for us, that God fights for us. And the author of Psalm 23 knew this well when he writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Listen, for you are with me." There it is again. God with us. Do you believe that? I know there are some, I'm pretty sure there are some of us here this morning who are having a hard time believing that God is for you and that God stands for you and that he fights for you. And if this is where you're at this morning, I want to challenge you to turn to the opening pages of the Gospel of Matthew, where the author quotes the prophet Isaiah concerning the coming Messiah. And he says this, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, God with us." Jesus, the Messiah, is the reality of God's promise that he will be with us, sacrificing on our behalf, fighting for our healing and reconciliation, dying and rising that we may experience life as well. And if you are still having a hard time believing this, then I want to have you turn to the last pages of the Gospel of Matthew and hear the very words of Jesus to you this morning, where he says, "And remember this, I am with you." Did you catch it? "I am with you always to the end of the age." I don't know about you or where you're at this morning, but to me, on a rainy, soggy last Friday in October, that's really good news. Good news, hopefully, not only to me, but to you this morning, and not just this morning, but even in the coming dark, cold, stressful, ho-drum days of November and beyond. Believe this, God is with us, whether you're aware of it or not, standing for you, fighting for you, and loving you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let's pray. God, these are your words, not mine. And I pray that your words will sink deep beyond our heads into our hearts. God, I know there are some here this morning who just don't believe you're with them, because of a plethora of circumstances that have happened in their life, whether in the past or even in the present. But God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray that you will speak this word into them so strongly that it will plant itself in the soil of their hearts and bear good fruit. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let it be done. Amen. Have a great last Friday of October.